The Lord hates one who sows discord among brethren. I know some might be quick to say, I believe you've got that wrong. It's not the person, it's the thing that he does. Well, let's read. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among brethren. If you will open in your Bibles to Proverbs 6, you'll see that it is a worthless and wicked man who sows discord. Backing up to verse 12 of Proverbs chapter 6, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes, he shuffles his feet, he points with his fingers, perversity is in his heart, he devises evil continually, he sows discord. Sowing discord. The wise man Solomon indicates that there are six, yea, seven things that are an abomination to God. They are abominable. They are detestable, in other words, meaning they're disgusting. They're revolting to the Lord. Now you might say, well, all sin is revolting. I don't know that I can say that I agree with that statement 100%. There seems to be all sin, of course, is against God, unholy, wrong, sinful, and you can go on and describe it as you will. But there are certain things that seem to be singled out as being odious to God. They make his stomach turn, so to speak. They are abominable. And he starts by saying there's six, but then there's seven, actually. He adds a seventh to it. Is that with meaning? Is it with significance that he would say there's six things that are an abomination to God? Actually, there's seven. And he adds the seventh. Is that on purpose that he does it that way? I wonder. The other six we more readily see as typically a wicked thing. The false witness, the innocent bloodshed, the lying tongue. Maybe that's for a reason then. That he says there's six, but go ahead and add the seventh one as equally an abhorrent thing. Sowing discord among brethren. So if you're tempted to say, if you're tempted to create unrest and to destroy harmony, then understand this. Compared to all sins, you need to view this as being abominable. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, where Jesus through Paul makes a sandwich job, I'll call it, a sandwiching of things that have to do with sowing discord and dissensions between people in between things that we more readily would recognize as being abhorrent or wicked or sinful. In Galatians 5, the works of the flesh, look at verse 19. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, adultery, sorcery. Now, there, stop just there. That's the top side of the sandwich. You see all of that saying, yeah, that's all bad and wicked. But then he says, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy. And now back to the list again on the other side. Murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like that'll keep you out of eternal life. Right smack dab in the middle of this list of things that are so fleshly will prevent you from eternal life are things like dissensions, discord, those kind of things that we might not typically see as in the same category with these other things. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 3, where he likewise equates this business of sowing discord with being fleshly. You're carnal minded. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and the third verse, well, let's start with 2. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able, for you're still carnal. How do you know? For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, you're carnal. You're acting just like mere men. There's no spirituality and Christianity in you, it would appear, or seem, if you behave such as that. Speaking of contentions, by the way, some Christians can confuse contending for the faith. In Jude verse 3, it says we ought to contend for the faith with being contentious about the faith. And they're not one and the same thing. We are to contend earnestly for the faith. We're not to be contentious in doing so. There's a difference. They're not one and the same. Now, you might be thinking, well, Whit, we don't have a problem with this here. And I would agree with you. We don't have a problem with this right now, so why'd you choose this for a topic for preaching tonight? Well, my answer is a short one. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of pure. Yeah. It's always better to deal with some of these things up front before it's a problem rather than wait till it's full blown and people's emotions get torn into it or mixed into it. And it's difficult to rationally view some of these things. Why is it so disgusting? Well, first of all, God said it's disgusting. I love the simplistic childlike response to start with. Why is it such an abominable thing? Why is it revolting to God to sow discord? Why is it so detestable? Because God said so. God says it makes me sick. It's disgusting that you would do such as that. But let's go on. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is said to be a God of peace. A God of peace. Look at it. God is not the author or the God of confusion, but of peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33. So why is it so disgusting to God? It could be this, that we're going counter to his nature. God in his nature is one who is harmonizing, trying to pull together. His nature is one of peace and get along. When we work counter to that, we're creating disharmony. We're going against people. We're not just going against people. We're going against God. We're going against the nature of God. You know, as an earthly father, and there's a bunch of them here, including myself, you know, there's some things we tolerate by way of even disobedience in our children more than others. Right? I know some dads may say, nope, every wrongdoing I equally deal with. But come on now. Most fathers cut more slack about certain things than they do others. There's some things, though, man, you just rubbed me the wrong way, son or daughter, in doing that. Dad's nature has just been impugned, or that's just not the way I behave or think or act. And, you know, and maybe that's the case here. Why is it so disgusting to God? Because we're going against his nature. Next. Because God is huge on unifying. Within hours of the cross, and I mean literally hours, I'm not exaggerating. Within hours of the cross, you can read about it in John chapter 17. Jesus is praying that what? All believers be one. All be unified, even as we, Father, you and I are in the Godhead one. It was heavy on his mind. There's 101 things he could have thought of. One of them is, I sure do hope that the believers stay united. You know, last request or last words are so important before someone passes away. One of the last things Jesus said was, God, please help these people to stay united. I don't want to work counter to the prayer of God. I don't want to go against that which God prays and is such a huge deal to him. Is it maybe because it's so disgusting to him that I am fighting against God by doing so? Whoa, no man needs to be found fighting against God. Maybe that's why it's so disgusting. Why else is it such a bad thing? Why is it so revolting to God? It's an abominable thing to sow discord. Maybe because it takes away from good outreach. Because of all the infighting, so much wasted energy is being used in warring between ourselves. There are sinners out there dying every day without Christ. But no, we're too busy nitpicking with each other. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Girls, you're going to have to hurry. We've got a lot to look at if you're taking notes, and I'm glad you are, but we've got lots and lots to look at. It'll keep your fingers busy writing tonight. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 12. Why is it so disgusting? It's unloving. He who winks, well, that's verse 10, excuse me. Verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife. Love covers all sins. It is hatred that is pictured as that which is a stir of strife. It's the fool who separates friends and brothers. Why is it so disgusting? It's not loving. It isn't loving. We're not through. Next. In chapter 13 and verse 10, it's prideful. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 10. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with well-advised But the well-advised is wisdom. Excuse me. So it's prideful. The one who causes dissension thinks of himself too highly. And that's a fact. Proverbs 15, verse 18. Pardon me going fast, but between this and other things, I need to hurry. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 18. It often arises out of anger. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 18. A wrathful or angry man is one who stirs up strife. He who is slow to anger allays contention. So, what makes it so disgusting to sow discord among brethren? It arises from anger. Somewhere within the discord sower, there's some anger issues. And it's just this way of showing itself. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God, we're told in James chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. It's twisted. It's perverted behavior. I know you said you might think I'm name-calling. I'm not. This is God speaking first, not me. Proverbs 16, verse number 28. It's a perverse man who sows strife. And it is a whisperer who separates the best of friends. We'll come back to that in just a minute. But for now, notice the first part. It's perverted behavior. It's twisted behavior. Contentiousness does not then spring forth. This goes back to Chad's point earlier in his exhortation. It does not come from sound rationale or rationale or use of one's mind in a sober, sound sort of way. Got a couple more, I think. It's joined to transgression and destruction in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 19. He who loves transgression loves strife. He who exalts his gate seeks destruction. So the companionship of strife and discord is transgression and destruction. I got one more. In Romans chapter 13 and verse number 13, it's often linked to envy. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 13. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in what? Strife and envy. Well, you don't have to link them. Oh, but they are linkable. That's a word. They are linked together. And they are not only linked here. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. And I think we noticed this earlier. Go back again. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. For you are not carnal, for where there is envy, strife. There it is again. Envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal? We're not through yet. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 15. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife. Envy, a companion of strife. So there you go. Some people that are sowing discord are insecure. And it's out of their envy of others trying to bring them into a position or place more acceptable to them. They sow discord. Moving on. How is it done? How is discord done? Proverbs chapter 16, 28. It's through whispering and gossiping, not the only way, but one way, that discord is sown. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 28, and then we'll look at another in chapter 17. First of all, verse 28. A perverse man sows strife. We read this a moment ago. The second part of the verse. A whisperer separates the best of friends. Then look at 17 and verse 9. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. So how is discord sown or done? Those who talk behind people's back. Speak quietly. That's the idea of whispering. What they would not wish to state openly can be guilty of sowing discord. 1 Timothy 6, verse 4. Debating some religious topics are said to gender strife and discord. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 4. 1 Timothy 6, 4. Well, let's back up to 3 so we're not in the midst of a sentence. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words from which come, here it is again, envy, strife, revilings, evil suspicions, and so forth. And he says in verse 5, withdraw yourself from such a person as that. But notice disputes and arguments over words often gender strife. 2 Timothy, next book, chapter 2, verse number 23. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. There are certain religious topics that do not help draw together, but to separate and sow discord. We already read Philippians 1, so I won't return there again, but you recall, if you will, a moment or two ago, there are those who sadly preach out of strife. There are those who use preaching, sad but true, as a means of sowing discord. Proverbs 22, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 10. There are those who belittle and scoff at other people's ideas, and them as a person, even for that matter, and that is a way of sowing discord. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 10. Cast out the scoffer, and contention will leave. I love that. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. If you can get rid of the scoffer, things will be fine. Let's read that again. I like how that's worded. Cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. So one way that sowing discord is done is by scoffing and belittling others and their ideas. Finally, through quarreling. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. The servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome. There are times, you know, this just came to mind. You know, when I was a kid, two of my sisters and I grew up together. I have another sister and brother that were far younger. But the two of us who were close, three of us that were closer to age, would squabble and quarrel and carry on. And my mom, of course, my dad too, but my mom more so, would try to get us to stop quarreling. Why? It's wholesome and good. No, it isn't. It's not good. There's a point to where the differences need to just let it lie. Let's let it sit. All the parents that are nodding and smiling about that one. There comes a time when it is counterproductive to continue squabbling about it. And you've had your say. They've had their say. You've had a comeback. They've had a retort or a rebuttal. Okay, now no more quarreling. That's enough. Now we're not just going to keep going at it. The same thing here. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. Servant of the Lord must not quarrel. Stop. You just don't do that. Quarreling can cause strife. You might say, I don't think it caused strife. No, it's right after verse 23. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel. Quarreling generates strife. You don't keep quarreling about certain matters. Remember, it's not just discord that's wrong and abominable. It's sowing discord that's also viewed in the same sort of way. You guys are going to think, I wish you'd get a nosebleed every time. You go through this so much faster. I'm not promising that every time. Last of all, this is the last section of the study. What are we going to do? We're going to stop it early. Go to Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 4. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 4. You know, it's a lot easier to divide than it is to build. It's easier to take the clock apart than it is to put it back together in a way that it will operate effectively. It's easier to disassemble something than it is to put it back together. I like to point out to Chad and Kelly when I'm over at their house studying with them, and Joan and Max is there, how you observe, and every parent in here with a little child, or even if you don't have one presently, remember how it was, right? They know how to pour things out. They know how to destroy, break down. They just don't know how to put it back up. They don't know how to be constructive. They know how, though, naturally to be destructive. It seems to be something we don't have to try hard to do. You got to be taught later. Put it back up. Put your things in the closet. Clean up your mess and so forth. Oh, that's so easy to be the case with adults as well. So easy to tear down. So much harder to build up. All right, back to the point. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 14. If we're not going to be sowing discord, what are we going to do about it? Stop things early. An evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. That's not the verse I wanted. That's verse 4. Verse 14. The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. Go around putting the fires out. Don't wait till they're flaming. Go get the firemen in here to try to douse it. Stop early quarreling before contentions erupt. Philippians chapter 4, verse 2. Heed the implorings of the Lord. Listen to what God's telling you. There were two women in the Philippian church that needed to be told, cut it out. Stop the contentiousness, ladies. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche, be of the same mind in the Lord. Get along. But I want to emphasize something here as we notice this point. Notice that he speaks to each of them separately. He could have said, I implore Euodia and Syntyche. He does not. I implore Euodia, listen to me. I also implore you, Syntyche, listen to me. Be of the same mind. Notice how he pleads to each one separately. Each one had to be willing to listen to what the Apostle Paul said, and that is to be of the same mind and get along. Each of us needs to likewise hear the pleadings of the Lord along these lines. Psalm number 133, verse 1. What are we going to do about not being those guilty of the abominable thing, sowing discord among brethren? We're going to stop things early before they get out of hand. We're going to heed the implorings of the Lord, and we're going to rejoice in the sweetness of unity. Psalm 133 and verse number 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like precious oil upon the head running down on the beard. Doesn't look too nice to me, but the image of one's oil running down the beard, but I know it must have been to the Israelite mind. The beard of Aaron. I asked Tim to lead the song that he sang just before the sermon. How sweet, how heavenly is the sight when those who love the Lord in one another's peace delight and so fulfill the word. Tim was a little hesitant to lead it because he wasn't absolutely sure he could get it started right. I said, well, you just get, Teresa and I were talking after services this morning, just get the word how out, and then we'll go from there. How sweet, and we'll jump in and take it from there. You did fine, though. You did a great job with that song. I love that song. Okay, two more, and we're through. Actively be a peacemaker. Matthew chapter 5 said, blessed are the peacemakers. Loving people, that's not what it says. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who make peace. Actively, then, be a peacemaker, not a sowing discord person, a sowing discorder. I make them up. Number 5, and we're through, James chapter 3, 14 through 16. If you've got to sow something, you might say, Whit, I'm just a sower. That's the way I am. Well, sow peace, then. Don't sow discord. James chapter 3. If you got to sow something, sow this. In James chapter 3, 14. But if you have bitter envy, there it is again. Bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly. Remember we said it's fleshly? It's sensual. It's demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make it happen, who make peace. It's sown in peace by those who make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, and blessed are those who not sow discord, but sow peace. Philippians chapter 2, and I will be through. Philippians chapter, I think I have this on the screen. Yeah, I do. Here you go. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, and there is, by the way, there's a whole lot of that. Well, then do this. Complete my joy. Please complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry. There's that envy idea again. Or conceit. But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Amen.